Khashoggi saga takes spotlight off Yemen tragedy. With the Saudi regime finally admitting its killing of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi in its consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, after 18 days of denial, the crime in a diplomatic mission on foreign soil has taken a new twist that will embarrass US President Donald Trump, who, in his greed for petrodollars, has completely ignored the human rights factory by refusing to stop the sale of deadly American weapons for the killing of more and more Yemeni men, women and children. Stay with us for an analysis in this regard, titled Khashoggi Saga Takes the Spotlight Off Yemen Tragedy, written by Vijay Prashad. Vijay Prashad is an Indian historian and journalist that appeared on Globetrotter website. By now, all doubts have been removed that Jamal Ahmad Khashoggi is dead. It has now been admitted that the dissident Saudi journalist, who once advised kings and billionaires, was killed by an interrogation team sent from Saudi Arabia to meet with him in Turkey. This means, irrespective of the massive cover-up in Riyadh, by arresting so-called rogue elements and blaming them for the death with the likelihood of execution of the scapegoats, it is impossible for the hit on Khashoggi to have taken place without a green light from heir apparent Mohammed bin Salman. The Saudi palace would have signed Khashoggi's death warrant because he had turned on the regime he otherwise loyally served. Nothing in Jamal Khashoggi's career suggested that he would become a dissident. However, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, has consolidated power against the fragile balance within the ruling family. And he had arrested and humiliated Khashoggi's friends, including Prince Al-Walid bin Talal of Twitter and Goldman Sachs. Khashoggi's dissent was the complaint of one fraction of the ruling elite against another. If he had been an unknown Saudi blogger sitting in Virginia, fulminating for a minuscule readership, he would have been left alone. The fact that he represented powerful interests inside Saudi Arabia made it impossible for him to survive. Saudi Arabia is in the midst of an internal review of the death of Khashoggi. Whispers from inside the country suggest that the final report will say that this was a rogue operation, a word introduced into this incident by US President Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who has bet a great deal on Saudi Arabia, has been caught flat-footed. He did not want this scandal. He thought that disavowing Khashoggi because he was a permanent resident of the United States rather than a US citizen would make the case disappear. But it has not, largely because Khashoggi has close friends in Washington, D.C., including colleagues at the Washington Post, because he is so well connected inside Saudi Arabia, and because the Turkish government, which is in a long-term tussle with Saudi Arabia and in view of Khashoggi's Turkish roots, will not let the matter drop. Even a substantial bribe from Saudi Arabia was rebuffed by Turkey. This news is not going anywhere. Donald Trump came under pressure at least to block US arms sales to Saudi Arabia. But Trump did not accede. He knows that this would do two things he cannot afford. It would show that the United States does not stand by its allies, who might then seek allies elsewhere, and it would jeopardize the massive deals the US arms manufacturers have signed with the Saudis. Arms purchased from the United States have come into use in Saudi Arabia's insane war against neighboring Yemen. But more than that, arms deals have always been an insurance policy, a way to recycle Saudi petrodollars into US exchequer. Not many US politicians who have arms manufacturers in each district would be willing to throw Saudi Arabia overboard as long as it buys weapon systems that it has mostly never used. Given this situation, Donald Trump ignored calls to stop the arms sales. I actually think we'd be punishing ourselves if we did that. It was not only because Trump wanted to maintain the US-Saudi relationship, it was largely because Trump's industrial strategy relies upon weapons sales around the world. And this is not merely Donald Trump's strategy. This has been the industrial strategy of the United States ever since manufacturing began to escape US shores from the 1970s, and ever since the former USSR collapsed and Russian weapons manufacturing deteriorated, a situation remedied only recently. It is worth pointing out that the United States has been the world's largest arms exporter for decades. It is also worth pointing out that the United States' arms exports have increased astronomically since 2008. It was arms manufacturing that was the fulcrum of the US recovery from the credit crisis. 20% of US arms sales go to Saudi Arabia, whose appetite for US weapons has increased by 448% from 2008 through to 2012, to 2013 through to 2017. This monstrous relationship that deposits Saudi Arabia's petrodollars into the US in exchange for weapons benefits the US financial markets and the arms manufacturers in the United States, two key components of the US capital. In previous decades, the Saudis warehoused their arms, watching them rot, and then replaced them with new weaponry from the United States. They were not buying arms as much, using the oil profits to underwrite the US financial and arms industries. This was a Saudi bribe, an insurance policy to the US political class. It ensured that Saudi Arabia was a key ally of the United States, and it brought the friendship of the US politicians who made sure to shut down any conversation about human rights abuses inside Saudi Arabia, and the very fact that it is an absolute monarchy. US presidents often talk of Saudi Arabia as an ally in the promotion of democracy, a witheringly bizarre tone that runs from liberal Democrats to arch-conservative Republicans. Donald Trump has been ferocious in his arms dealings. In the first half of 2018, the US sold as many weapons as it did in all of 2017. This will be a record year for weapons sales. It is fated to continue in this vein. Arms will flow not only to Saudi Arabia, but to other Arab states, parts of the world that need to dry out from war rather than be put in the position where the gun becomes the solution to any problem. Now Saudi Arabia is using the arms sold to it by United States and Britain in its barbarous war against the people of Yemen. Last year, Jamal Khashoggi made it clear that when Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen erupted in March of 2015, there was support for it, including by me. Khashoggi believed that Saudi Arabia must go to war to beat back an Iranian threat, an illusionary story that the Saudis had been flogging since the Iranian Revolution of 1979. 2 years into the war, Khashoggi said the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, entirely the fault of Saudi Arabia, had badly damaged the country's reputation, and it had weakened Saudi Arabia's credibility. Khashoggi called upon Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to recognize all factions in Yemen as legitimate and to get serious about peace talks in Yemen. This advice fell on deaf ears, unfortunately. The deafness of the palace annoyed people like Khashoggi, many of whom had sympathy for the goals of the Saudi campaign but saw it as poorly executed. There is a full-blown humanitarian crisis in Yemen now, that is true, but there has also been quite fierce military resistance to the Saudis and United Arab Emirates' war effort by the Yemenis. Plucky Yemeni forces from many factions have not permitted the Saudis to feel safe for a major land invasion. They have been restricted since 2015 to an aerial bombardment campaign of Yemen, a destruction of its infrastructure that includes its crucial ports. Anyone who looks at the Saudi war in Yemen is quickly disgusted by its brutality. But one should also see the resistance of the Yemenis that has prevented the much-wanted Saudi victory. But the Saudi war on Yemen has slipped off the radar screens. It was Khashoggi's disappearance that captured the imagination, a macabre story of a man many journalists knew. During the wall-to-wall coverage about Khashoggi's disappearance and now murder, Cyclone Luban struck Yemen's Al-Mahra governorate. Relief workers in the area say the cyclone was very destructive, and the governor of the province, Raghib Bakrit, tweeted photographs of the high floodwaters. The disastrous situation, Bakrit said, surpasses our humble capacities. He wants help, but help cannot easily get there. The Saudi war prevents assistance to Yemen. This is the fifth cyclone to strike Yemen since the Saudi bombing began in 2015. The war continues. Yemeni children continue to die, an average of 5 killed a day since the Saudi bombing began in March of 2015. Nothing is going to stop that. Not Khashoggi's critical column, nor his death. Nothing. As long as Saudi Arabia pays those billions of dollars in insurance payments to the United States in the guise of arms purchases.